The views and opinions expressed in this show are meant for entertainment purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate information, remember to do your own research and always question everything.
This episode of The Salty Show is brought to you by the Canadian Coast Guard.
We're sorry, you have reached a number that has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of The Salty Show. I'm your co-host, Timmy, two-time in the house. What's going on, everybody?
Hello, hello, hello. This is Heidi.
Hey, everybody. This is Jeremy, and welcome to our world.
Hey, everybody. This is your host, Salty Saul. Welcome to another episode of The Salty Show, where we talk about everything from politics to pop culture. And today, I got an interesting topic for you guys that is... This actually, if you haven't heard about this, you've been living under a rock. It's a story that has gripped the world. So what happens? Five ultra-rich folks decide to take a trip on a submarine that promised them a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see the wreckage of one of the most, if not the most famous wreck in history, the Titanic. They're offered the opportunity to see it up close and personal and get a view and whatever. However, over the weekend, an hour and 45 minutes after they started descending, they lost communication to the surface ship or the mothership where they docked from. And as we're recording the podcast tonight on Wednesday, less than 10 hours remaining. So we don't know yet what has happened. They've lost complete communication and there's five people on board. So let's talk about this, guys. I think what makes this story riveting is that it's full of strange facts, coincidences, and a little bit of irony and a lot of mystery. And so I know, Tim, when we right before the show started, you mentioned something and we're going to get into that. So let's go into the details. What happened? So the company is called OceanGate. And again, they offer people the opportunity to go on a submarine, go to the depths of the Atlantic Ocean to view the Titanic shipwreck. And one of these tickets cost $250,000 to go in and check this out. Now, the descent that they take is up, it's 2.5 miles that they go down. And it takes about two and a half hours, I think, to get down there. So right before, I guess, they arrived, they lose contact. So this was on Sunday afternoon or something like that. And so they figured, well, you know what, the whole entire trip, you know, 2 hours down, 2 hours up, and whatever, 4 hours to be, you know, exploring in the bottom, or actually 6 hours or something like that. But after 10 hours, there was still silence and they didn't know where these people were. So after 12 hours, then the mothership decides to call the Coast Guard and they reported that they had lost contact. And so now here we are days later, and they're still searching for these folks. Now, the reason this is crazy is because apparently they had some 90 hours of oxygen.
96 hours of oxygen.
Yeah, 96 hours. And we are here in the last, I think, 10 hours or something like that.
I heard we were in the last 30 hours of it is the last that I had heard. So today is actually less. So. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So who's on this, right? And so who are the I honestly don't know any of the billionaires, but apparently
the creator yes. of the actual
right the actual, CEO of the company.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I guess it's a British billionaire, a Middle Eastern billionaire and a child.
A Pakistani businessman and his son.
Who's
19 years old. And then there's also another French explorer. So there's five people in total who are in this ship. And the crazy thing about it, from what it's been described as, and I'll show you guys a picture. If you guys have seen it, I won't. But it's basically, they're saying it's the size of a van, right? So honestly, when I looked at it and when I saw people, I mean, you get five big guys in there, you're cramped.
Yeah, they said you couldn't, there was no standing room in it. So everybody's basically like crisscrossed.
Right.
So how do you go to the bathroom?
Yeah, so that's the interesting, Tim. So they do have a bathroom, toilet there that, you know, you sit at the edge right where the front of the whatever called, what is that called? What's the front
the
of a ship called? The front of the hatch or whatever. There's a toy that comes out from that hatch, and then they have like a little curtain there that you to get your privacy. So, but the thing is, so here are some of the facts. Again, it's 2.5 miles. So for perspective, it's twice as deep as the Grand Canyon, like the deepest portions of the Grand Canyon, right? Another interesting thing, it's 430 miles southeast of St. John's, Newfoundland, or Newfoundland in Canada, right? So again, that's where the wreckage is. And now you have, so they're remote. Not only are they in a remote location, they are deep in the sea. So the theories are of what may have happened. How did this transpire? So some of the experts out there, and again, Tim, we're going to talk about how did we get here and what has led to this and some of the interesting things, the ironies about this. So what they're saying is that the submarine may have gotten either tangled, because again, think about it, they're going into the wreckage of the Titanic, right? There's a lot of debris out there. And some of them, experts are talking about saying, hey, there might be even fish nets out there that, you know, this little, honestly, have you seen it, Jeremy? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't. If you have a picture.
Okay. So let me show you.
I haven't seen it either.
Yeah. Let me show you guys some pictures. And I actually wanted to show you guys a short little documentary. I might not include this on the show, but just so you guys have perspective and you guys can talk about it. But to me, what was interesting is that the way that the CEO talks about it and what they had meant, one of the guys, another billionaire that had signed up for this, he had put in his deposit. But once he heard about the details about it, how they cut corners, they bought stuff that you get from like the store. You know what I mean? This thing was put together like, you know, think Inspector Gadget, this shit put together. You mean like it wasn't professionally done. This looks weird. Anyway, let me show you guys this little documentary where one of the guys. Yep.
Okay. So this wasn't one of the, well, I guess obviously it's not the exact one, but this isn't even like a similar model to the ones that Cameron used to go down when they found it originally, right? Because they had state-of-the-art, right, you know, submersibles at that time. This is something that this billionaire kind of threw together from the stuff from Ace Hardware and Home Depot, is
exactly
what you're saying.
Now, here's the interesting thing, Jeremy, is that I'm pretty sure when, because I was looking for this and I couldn't get a clear answer, but I think the one that James Cameron took was tethered, right? The problem with that is that it requires a lot of cabling, tons of cables, and even, you know, the freaking crane that has to hold that is tons, right? And the ship has to be big. And so, you know, which is more expensive. Anyway, so they've cut, from what I understand, is they cut corners. I'm going to show you this video from this guy, bro. And so this thing wasn't tethered, dude. The communication between the mothership, I'm going to call it, and the little submarine, was all done, listen to this, through text messaging.
That's through SMS?
SMS, bro.
Oh my.
Wasn't it like a Logitech controller or something like that? Like that was like
to control the ship, he used like the controllers of a freaking
PSP I heard.
PSP.
Like it was controller. Like an Xbox or a PSP controller.
Yeah, I heard it was like a Logitech controller or something like that.
So it does say that documents show an employee, I was looking it up while we were talking about it. It does say here, documents show an employee warned there might be safety problems posed by the way the experimental vehicle was developed, and leaders in the submersible craft industry told the company its approach to the enterprise could have a catastrophic outcome.
Right.
Okay.
This thing's also gone down like 30 times.
Okay. All right. Can you guys see my screen?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So let me play this. It's gone down a few times. And you know what the funny thing about it, Heidi, is that it lost communications multiple times. So this is something that they were used to. And that's why they waited so long before they contacted, you know, the Coast Guard. All right, let me play this video.
Submersible vessel that has not been approved or certified by any regulatory body.
Oh, okay. So let me explain this. So this here was a report that done by CBS Morning or something like that, one of those shows. And this is the reporter. And so he has to sign a disclaimer, right? Obviously, because, you know, insurance and all that shit, and people got to know the risk you're taking, right? And so he's reading that disclaimer, and then he talks about the ship a little bit.
service. An experimental submersible vessel that has not been approved or certified by any regulatory body and could result in physical injury, disability, emotional trauma, or death. Where do I sign?
Oh,
look at this thing, Jeremy.
That's customary.
Okay.
Wow.
Inside, the sub has about as much room as a minivan.
Oh, wow.
So this is not your
There's no way.
Submersible. We only have one button. That's it. It should be like an elevator. You know, it shouldn't take a lot of skill.
The Titan is the only 5-person sub in the world that can reach Titanic depths, 2.4 miles below the sea.
2.4
miles? It's also the only one with a toilet.
There's a toilet there.
Sort of. And yet, I couldn't help noticing how many pieces of this sub seemed improvised.
We can use these off-the-shelf components.
I got these from Camper World. We run the whole thing with this game controller.
Come on! It seems like...
Now, again, watching this in hindsight, and a lot of people are commenting about this, right, about how people would put themselves in that type of situation to go...
Yeah. So the video obviously shows the reporter getting into this submersible, I guess you'd call it.
Right.
It has there's no seats. There's no cushions. It's just a steel cylinder.
It is a carbon fiber coffin.
Yeah. Well, I freaked out getting an MRI.
There's no way.
I mean, I had a panic attack.
Yeah. Could you imagine being locked in that thing? I had heard that they lock you in it from the outside. Like there's 17 bolts that they bolt you in from the outside and that's it. You cannot get out of this thing. They have to unbolt the 17 bolts to let you out.
Yeah.
No way in hell. That's what I heard. I don't know how true that is.
No, you're exactly right, Heidi. And I'm going to cover that when it comes to how hard is it going to be to rescue. But the theories on what may have happened, that went wrong, right? So one of those was, you know, it got tangled in debris, right? Another thing that could have happened is that there's equipment that could have failed, right? The power outage or something like that. So, because a lot of these things, think about this, this thing is relying on batteries, right? And one of the experts out there was saying, well, we don't know, because in the specs from their website, it tells you everything that it can do. But then people were asking about, well, what about redundancy, right? If this relies on batteries, are there backups? And how long are they going to last, right? Because those batteries, think about what relies on those batteries. It's going to be the engine, the lights, the heating, right? At that depth, you know, you're getting 30 degrees, you know what I mean? Or that's freezing, right? Yeah, you're going to get to freezing temperatures.
And yeah, so this article does say that they've already lost all power. They're already sitting in darkness.
Exactly.
And no heat. So,
fuck that.
So if the loss of oxygen what this is saying is if they get to them in time before the oxygen runs out, which this article I'm reading that was just posted 4 hours ago by CBS is saying that they have enough oxygen. They hope they have enough oxygen until Thursday morning. So it doesn't really say what time, right? It's just saying Thursday morning, which could be any time after midnight, right? Because that's morning. But and then it says they're already in darkness. If they can get to them in time with the oxygen not running out, they still have to worry about whether or not hyperthermia has set in because there's no electricity. There's no light. There's no heat.
Another thing that they have to worry about is how are they, because one of the guys was mentioning, again, the experts, because I was watching a lot of the expert videos and people were questioning, is like, well, when they looked in that video, you saw they had like a little monitor, but there was a guy asking, well, how are they monitoring the atmosphere within within this thing? Because think about the carbon dioxide that people are emitting, right? So, you know, or are they just pumping oxygen in there to get people, you know what I mean? Like, how is this working? How are they regulating all this? And because then you got to think about the carbon dioxide poisoning and all that shit, right? One of the other things that may have happened, and outside of being rescued, right, outside of, you know, the best case scenario for them would be that the thing imploded, right? Because
be instant death.
Because it'd be instant death, because to Heidi's point, and we might talk about that. We'll go into how would you be in a situation like this. This is, there are now like 4 days of of this and imagine if they're still alive in complete darkness, cold, the panic that would set in, right? The latest that I heard about this, and this was the latest good news, basically, was that Tuesday night, because there's already, you know, the Coast Guard, the Canadian, whatever side as well, the U.S. side, there's other countries that are offering their help. I think the guy that's from Pakistan government is also trying to help. The last they heard was that there was some banging sounds. Because I guess they have some type of monitoring that they, yeah, that they can do some type of sonar to hear. Yeah. And every 30 minutes they were hearing, and this is not official, but some people who are saying the unofficial story goes is that they're hearing the SOS, you know, code, right? Which is pop, 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 pop. So they're hearing that every 30 minutes. So that's why they're thinking that this could be, they could still be alive. And this was Tuesday night. Another good news, which was today, was that there's a French ship that should have already arrived there by then. Right now it's 10 p.m. Wednesday night. And this French ship is the kind of ship that does that deep diving to, you know how they lay cables on the ocean floor and all that stuff. So they have, so they have that type of equipment to do that stuff. So those are the only things that I've heard as far as good news. Now, when I saw this story, you know, cause think about it, like, were they aware of the risks, right? Of what, how this could go down. And as you heard here, this guy signed the waiver but to me, I'm like wondering if they give him the rundown of, hey, this is the possible ways to die from this, right? And
just because he signs the waiver doesn't mean his wife and other children signed that waiver. So they could still be sued by family members because they didn't sign off the waiver that it was okay if their husband and father's.
I don't think they have the
eyes
that choice, right? I mean,
oh, sure they do. Oh, sure family? They do.
Really? Family can't make your decisions for you. What? I've never heard of that.
If Jeremy, for example, decided he was going to go on this adventure and sign off that he's not going to hold anybody liable if he gets hurt, it does not free from a civil suit for me to sue them and put my husband in that danger. A lot of people don't know that. They don't understand that a spouse or a child has civil rights against.
Well, these are all billionaires, so I think they know.
I know that because of my career, right? So it tells me, I know that because of my career, but it does say Tuesday night, 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon. As of 1 p.m. Tuesday afternoon, they had 40 hours of breathable air left, which is how they're gauging that they should be okay on oxygen until Thursday morning. Now, the other thing, though, that you were saying, like if they're panicking and if they're
hyperventilating,
you know, adrenaline is going, they're using way more oxygen.
Right.
Than if they're like calm, cool and collected. So that's not in the calculation in the numbers.
You also have to remember, you know, dehydration. If you don't drink for 3 days, that's pretty much a death sentence too.
Yeah, but so if they're peeing,
they're breathing. Well, okay,
they drink their urine. They do it. Are you kidding me?
Do it.
Survival. Yeah.
But I'm just saying. I mean, unless you went down there with water, and you know, snacks.
They did have some limited supplies. It does say they had limited supplies. Well,
they were going to be there for like 6 hours or eight hours total.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a 3-hour tour.
Right. Yeah. When did this all go down?
Sunday.
Monday?
Sunday. Oh,
Sunday.
Sunday, they lost communication with them.
Yeah.
Another interesting piece again. So what, like all the flaws that happened, right? Again, the loss of communication was common apparently because other people are coming out now testifying that they, you know what I mean? Like that they lost communication on their trips. Another thing was that this thing didn't have, there's no GPS on the sub, right? Obviously GPS doesn't work at those depths. And it was technically being guided by, again, the surface ship using that SMS, bro. And as you saw this guy in this guy that you just saw here in this video, in one of his reports, and I think even in his podcast, he came out on a podcast talking about this. And he talked about how when they lost communication, or when he witnessed some people that he went with, a group that he went with, they lost communication with it. The ship cut the internet connection, And so even the people who were witnessing that were still on the mothership witnessing that the submarine got lost. And this isn't previous again. They said that the ship disconnected the internet so that they couldn't, you know, text or, right. you know, or say, get the news out or something like that. And they had told them that, oh, we just need to make sure we have all the lines of communication and not to interrupt. But he's now coming on saying, yeah, it seems like a red flag. Mm. Right. Let's see. Another thing to Heidi's point, this thing was sealed from outside. So even if they wanted to, you know, either end it right there and there because they're like dying, or even if they made it all the way to the surface, right? Say, for example, they're floating in the surface because it's finding like a needle in the haystack, dude. I think I was looking at like, yeah. I don't know how many kilometers of square kilometers that this was. I think it was twice the size of Connecticut is the search area, right? Or where they could be. And so,
You're saying, let's say they lost communications, they lost power, whatever, mm-hmm. but they managed to get the submersible back up to the surface.
Yeah. Right.
There's no way out.
Because
there's
think about it, Jeremy.
Oh, they can't even get out. Oh,
think
wow.
about what happens yeah. at that layer. There's layers of mm-hmm. currents in the ocean, right? So they could be pushed some direction. And so the search area is, again, twice the size of Connecticut. And so even if they're floating somewhere on the surface, it's like finding a needle in the haystack for that small, you know, that little.
Well, if you're hearing the SOS from.
Right.
You know, if they're tapping out the SOS, I would assume it's most likely that they would sink more than float. But wow. Yeah.
Okay. Dude, this is so messed up because you were just saying that the whole SOS thing, right? And I'm looking on Twitter. Dude, it's bots that are reporting this.
Yeah, so that's what they're saying.
A lot of people are saying the same comment like 100 times.
A lot of people are saying there was a news reporter who said he got it from a credible source, right? But then they're not giving the official answer, right? It's not coming from the official sources, but there's people who have contacts there who are saying this. So I don't know why they don't want to confirm it. That's what people are speculating. But this guy on the news report, this guy was not him. There was another new, some California reporter was talking about that he had a contact there that was telling him that. And so, again, we don't know what the facts are, but this is what people are speculating. That's not the official answer from the people who are giving those press conferences, right?
Even if they find them, 96
hours of oxygen.
Even if they do find them, the odds of them finding them. Getting them connected to, you know, whatever recovery ship and bringing them to the surface and getting those bolts off, they're probably dead. There's probably no way that they're going to survive.
Yeah, the way this is talking about, like, the organ failure, the hypothermia, the, like, what's happening, and that, again, going back to kind of what we were saying earlier, their heart rates, what they're going through is going to increase their oxygen use. They don't have 96 hours of oxygen.
No, they're probably dead.
Yeah, I'll be shocked if they can.
Another thing is, again, even if they float to the surface, there's no way for them to get out of it. So they would if nobody finds them in time, they can't open the hatch themselves. Yeah. And then another thing is that even if they have ships that arrive that are able to, if they find them, because even if they find them at the floor, right, they don't have the people who are there right now don't have any method of getting them out. The submarine has to get itself out. There's a ship that I said that just gotten there tonight sometime that has that capability. But then another thing is they have to wait for good weather, right? Because they can't just, you know, throw something overboard and there's winds or currents or whatever, you know, so they have to wait for good weather. So even on these trips, like I said, there was many times when it had been canceled. This guy that you just saw the report from on the trip that he went, there was a lady who had canceled her trip three times because the three times that she went, the weather just wasn't there. And so she was like, had to go three times to finally experience the thing. And I'm like, by that time, I'm like, that lady is lucky to be alive, bro.
It's a sign. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. It's dangerous stuff. The ocean is dangerous. I don't know if people really get that right because it's, but I mean, it is dangerous. It's
yeah. Okay. Here we go. Here are the people on board. Ready? 61-year-old CEO Stockton Rush, who founded the company in 2009, Paul Henry Nargaletti, 73 years old, a French maritime explorer and director of the underwater research program. Company exclusive rights to recover the artifacts. So Paul Henry had exclusive rights to recover artifacts from the Titanic wreckage. Hamish Harding, 58, a British explorer, private jet dealer and chairman of Action Aviation, global sales company for in business aviation. Shahzada Dawood, 48, a member of one of Pakistan's most prominent families. And then his son.
No.
It doesn't have his age.
I think another thing that makes this search like very complicated. And I was hearing one of the reports, one of the experts, and here's we're going to get to your point, Tim, about this whole, you know, the hiring that was practiced there. But because there was a lot of experts that came out and said, well, this is interesting because so they're using some type of sonar to search. And one of the experts saying, well, like, that's kind of useless because there's already a huge pile of debris there because they went to go see the Titanic. So any method that they're trying to use to find something at the bottom of the floor, they're going to find the huge Titanic and all the other debris around there. You know what I mean? Like this little submarine.
Yeah. But I'm willing to bet they have a lot of that stuff mapped out. So they may be able to reference,
maybe,
you know, hey, that wasn't there before. Let's go check there. And, you know, don't get me wrong. It could be debris that they haven't mapped or whatever, but I would hope that they have a lot of that stuff mapped by now.
The thing is that the boats that are there, even the Coast Guard can't send anything down, Jeremy.
Right. It's too deep.
It's too deep. So even if they did find them somehow, there's no way they can bring them up. And up until today, where supposedly this ship that lays cables in the ocean floor might be able to help.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
So there are ways that they could release to let it go. And one of the ways is by releasing some of the oxygen into the exterior ballast containers. So if these guys knew that and tried to do that, then they also depleted their 96 hours of oxygen by doing that.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe that. Or it just had cracks and it imploded. Right. That's another thing that may have causes. Now, before we get into the company hiring practices and that piece, I did want to, put ourselves in that situation. Obviously, maybe some of us wouldn't even dare to do that because either we have common sense or we don't have the, crazy explorer spirit to, charter the unknown.
62 years old?
73 years old. The one guy's 73. I don't know.
It might be worth it, but that's a hell of a way. I mean, you think about all the ways to die, you know, when they say you either drown or get burned, get torched, right? Which would be worse. Fuck, man. This is a pretty shitty way to go, too. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
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 Like you're sitting there all high-fiving like, hey, we're going on the ground. And all of a sudden you hear, uh-oh.
Yeah. Right. It's funny. I was saying if I was a millionaire, I would do, of course I would spend $250,000 to go down and see the Titanic. If I won the lottery, yeah. I'll spend $250,000 to go down and see the Titanic. But then when I read like the warnings and that you have to sign those releases and you see the vessel that you're going in and you find out that you're being bolted in from the outside
and
without a way out and it's driving
remote?
It with an Xbox remote. I'm like, I'm good. I'm keeping my $250,000. We're good. It's not worth that.
Yeah. And on top of everything else, right? I mean, let's say we decide to go. We're crazy enough to go. Now you're there. Now you're stuck. Right? Imagine all the stages that you're going to go through, right? Let's say these guys are still alive, right? What are the five stages of grief that people go through, right?
Shit.
You know, because you got to worry about you, so you start panicking, right? Like, and once panic sets in, you know, like, how do you cope with that? I think the first one is denial, right? I think you're like, well, maybe it's not that bad, right? You're like, you know, well, and then you get angry. They had the freaking CEO in there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, what if there's mutiny? You know what I mean? Like, and they're like, fuck this shit, bro. You know what I mean?
Oh, they probably killed them. There's a good chance they probably, well, he was probably said something stupid and they probably beat the shit out of him.
You're talking about needing food and water. Guess what?
Or think about somebody who thinks like, I'm just saying, like, if people start, they go crazy, right? When you face death, some people are going to be like survival, man. And what if, to your point, Tim, some people are like, well, you know what? This is your fault. And you're going first. And that way you don't waste oxygen. You know what I mean? Like, think about
Game of Thrones, baby.
Yeah. Like, what would happen? It's scary to think about it. And that's, you know, when I was here, because obviously it was blowing up everywhere. And the other day I went to sleep and I'm like, man, I don't know how would you react? Right. Like, I think in those moments, would you stay cool? Would you accept it? Would you go through depression? You know what I mean? Like,
it's probably a bit of everything, because you basically have to accept that you're going to die in 4 days and you can't talk to nobody. Now, if you stay silent, you know, you're not supposed to talk, because if you, by talking, you're using oxygen and carbon dioxide. So,
right. So you're just quiet there.
And then the power goes out, and if all the lights go out, you're sitting in complete fucking darkness.
Cold.
Yeah.
Cold, like, you're hoping that you fucking die at some point.
I can't imagine going to, like, if they're still alive right now, what, 4 days, 3 days?
Yeah. Back? Yeah. And you know, the other thing I think about is, and I thought about this until I just read this on the, because I'm going through the different posts, and there's one that's updating live as it goes and just had an update 30 minutes ago. When you guys were talking about the banging noises and whatever, they're already down there with all that other stuff, right? So who's to say it's banging from, like, they're saying it's the SOS banging sound. I haven't read that in three of the articles that I've been looking at. I haven't heard that SOS part of it, but I've heard banging noises. Okay, but think about the water and the currents that are down there, the debris that is down there. And who's to say it's not stuff just hitting the debris that's already down there?
Right. Because the ship is wrecked. It could just fall.
Yeah, it's a shipwreck, right? So that's fallen apart. We know it's falling apart. That's how some of the debris has come up, where it could be captured by treasure hunters, as well as just whatever's living down there, hitting stuff and banging around stuff. And of course, if the water and the currents are shifting and changing, it's causing the creaking and the changing of the metals and the material that's down there too.
I think obviously they have recordings, right? They're analyzing, right? So I'm pretty sure these recordings will eventually come out. But I think the reason that there was hope was because there was a pattern, or it was coming out in intervals, right? And so debris falling or some random stuff doesn't happen in intervals, right? So if you're down there and you're thinking, well, how can we tell if they're listening, that it's not just debris or whatever, that it's, so I think that's what I would think, right? Do it in intervals precisely.
Yeah. Whoever's this quoting, I don't know who's quoting this, but it says, one possibility is that the sound's bouncing around the debris. And so it's a more complicated echo. So they're not being able to narrow down on the echo or narrow down on the noise, because it's just bouncing off things. It's like taking a marble and dropping it into a tin can. It rattles around and it bangs differently. So they, when they go to try and track that sound to go to it, they're finding just wreckage, more stuff. And I don't know. I mean, these are quotes coming off of New York.
So, okay.
Post,
so that brings up a question. So I'm assuming this company has more than one submersible, right? So they take down submersible number one.
I honestly don't know, Jeremy.
Okay.
Yeah. Reading all of this, it looks like it's just the one that keeps going down.
I know they do other whatever marine stuff, but like whatever water shit, but
yeah, I think this is the only submarine.
That goes all the way down to the Titanic. I don't know if they have another.
How are they searching for them in the water? Is this where
the Coast Guard can only search a certain depth. They can't go those 2.5 miles down.
It says the Coast Guard is doing everything up on the air from an air standpoint or up above. So if for some reason they're fortunate enough that they came up to the water level, they'll be able to find that needle in the haystack, because that's what they do. They're really good at that. And then it looks like right here, there's only a handful of deep sea vehicles worldwide that could even carry humans down to that depth. And they're trying to get, it looks like they're trying to get, they just arrived on scene.
Yeah, I think that was the French vessel.
It looks like a French vessel is capable of carrying
map of that guy. Yeah, I think this is it right here.
To depths of 20,000 feet and has been down to the Titanic before, and it looks like they might be the ones. But again, to your guy, to Saul's point, they can't. Yeah, they can go down there and go, here it is, but they can't do anything to help it. Like, the vessel doesn't have the capability to help.
Yeah. The mothership doesn't, right? The I think it's called the Polar Prince. That guy does not have the capability to pull them out. So that's why they were waiting for, it's called the Atalante. It's some French thing. And it's already there. It's already searching in that.
Right.
I don't know if it's 30 kilometers square. I don't know how many.
Oh, shit, you guys. One of the people that's on this is a descendant of a wealthy first-class couple who died in the ship sinking in 1912.
There you go. So I was going to talk about the ironies of this, right?
It's a great, great granddaughter.
Another one of them is, I don't know if you want to say irony, but, you know, they went to the Titanic wreckage, and it's kind of the same thing. Billionaires, filthy rich people on a ship go out to the middle of the ocean. There's some weird irony in that, right? It's sad. And on top of, and here's here, so we're going to get into this point, Tim, that you brought up before the show. And one of the things that I was like, oh my God, are you freaking kidding me? And to your point, Heidi, this is where I would agree, sue the hell out of these people.
Yeah.
So what was it? It is that we learned that the CEO of this company had interviews where he talked about the woke policies that he applied as methods of hiring. So what he said is that he didn't want to have 50-year-old men experts, because he could have hired experts, you know, who were above 50 years old, white guys or whatever. And he didn't want to do that. He wanted to have a diverse crew. And there's videos of, you know, one of the crew girls who's like at this freaking drag show, and she's all like, oh my God, you can tell these people are like woke, right? And when you think about this, these people, instead of hiring the most competent people to do this type of job, instead they hire based on diversity.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I also have to stop and think for a minute. If you actually did hire somebody that had experience in these sorts of things, they would have looked at those submersible and gone,
yeah, right.
Are you crazy? I'm not getting anywhere near this thing.
But then they would have at least been able to persuade him to put more either safety measures, some redundancy, some caution. You know what I mean? Like,
sure, if he was willing to spend the money for it,
right? But have a point. So maybe what you're saying is maybe he just applied these quote unquote woke policies because he didn't want to spend the money to actually do it right.
Well, I think his ability to go out and hire people who had no idea what the hell was going on was twofold, right? One, they're not going to bring up things, and two, they're going to work cheap, and he gets to meet his, you know, diversity quota. He gets to come across as a, you know, a savior, for lack of a better word.
Dude, I mean, A for effort for wanting to be exploratory and, you know, do the expedition. I mean, that's what everybody should be striving to be doing, right? And we should be giving them credit for that. But then on the other side is like, that was very, like, his design was very dangerous. And that the fact that everybody, the people that did it, they looked at this and said, okay, I feel safe. So either they didn't care about their safety, right? And they wanted to be the ones to, you know, I'm the first one to do it. Cool.
In the meantime, this was happening. We're going to all, wait, hold on. Let me find my, okay. Look over here.
What?
Because over here, AI is making Biden happen. He's really dead.
Because
you're paying attention to what's happening.
Well, yeah, exactly. No. So it's now, actually funny that you say
now
that.
Now you're going to start seeing the glitches because something serious is happening here, but we're going to pay attention over here for right now on the missing
Hunter
submarine.
Biden shit.
Give it a couple more days, and the puppeteers are going to be putting out a new glitchy Biden.
It's funny you said that because, what was it, Monday or Tuesday? The fucking the Pentagon comes out and goes, oh, we were doing our review of the books. We're doing our yearly audit. And oh, by the way, oh, we found out that, oh, we gave Ukraine an extra $6.2 billion.
No. There's a missing submarine with five people on it. It's over here. Pay attention to what's going on over here.
Or the Hunter. I think the Hunter Biden thing is more damning, right? Because this motherfucker gets scot-free. He does a plea deal with the Department of Justice and fucking gets away with.
And Trump's getting 500 years.
No, and not only that, people who I seen some of the Black community coming out and saying, "Oh, really?" Because I forget what rapper did that. The same crime, and he got 3 years. Kodak Black, 3 years in jail. And Hunter Biden gets off free. Anyways, yeah, I didn't want to make this a political show. To your point, Heidi, we will cover politics. We cover politics time.
I'm not trying to. I'm just got to make my little joke in there.
Dude, but it's true.
Heidi did her little hand. Look, watch him here. Here it is.
But it's so true. Every time something major is happening, there's always some other story that winds up being. Right. The major news cycle that takes everybody's eyes off of what's going on.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, it was aliens. Aliens disappeared. We talked about it. Everybody's like, oh, my God, it's real. And guess what? You know what you haven't heard about before?
Aliens.
That's what I say.
I think they're going to have hearings. They're gonna have hearings on that. Anyway, yeah, so
it's fucking Congress.
I'll bring it around to maybe some of the political shit or some of the culture wars that we're having and how this ties into that as well. So maybe at least we're doing that right. And again, the point that the hiring manager, he wanted to hire a diverse crowd. And I was thinking about this. You know what's crazy is that because we've seen the new ads for the military, for all the branches of military that have gone woke. And so I was thinking about this, you know, to the families who are wishing that they can get saved, to add insult to injury to this whole thing, you know, that those probably the rescue folks from the Coast Guard and all that, all those people are probably in the same DEI bullshit. They were fucking diverse hires who barely know how to do their jobs because it's this fucking woke mind virus, right? And because again, I was watching videos of experts involved and they were talking about, it's like, this is a joke. If people think that you're going to be able to pull this using the resources that the Coast Guard has, that, you know, you need special ships to be able to do this. And there's like three ships in the world, apparently, that could do this type of rescue. And one of them is headed that way. And it's not normally what they do, right? They just lay cable. And so they're going to have to figure out how to tie this thing up. And if they find it, pull it up, right?
And if they could do it in time, right? So.
And I think another layer to this.
You were mentioning that this French ship that lays the cable on the ocean floor, it has the capability of going all the way down to the bottom.
Apparently, yeah, they have a thing that will I don't know what they call it, like a freaking, I guess, drone that's attached.
Yeah.
The problem is that, you know, think about it. It took them a while because it's a very heavy ship. I think 30 tons or 30,000. I don't know how many freaking thousands of tons. I don't know how many tons it was, but it was a heavy thing. And then the cable, right? The cable that has to, that shit is freaking, I don't know how many tons heavy, right? So, you know, that's why it took a while. And then on top of that, they don't do this type of rescue. So again, this is like a Hail Mary that they're having right now.
Yeah, it seems like that ship would be more useful once they actually found them than this ship could go there and go down and get them. Right? It's kind of a one or the other, right? One ship is designed or, you know, specially built to find them. And then another ship is specifically designed to go down to that depth, right? You kind of have to have.
Right.
Multiple best of the both worlds going on there.
Right. The problem is that they could have had people who had, you know, 50-year-old men, military men who have had this type of experience, right? Being in that type of, you know, at least no submarine or whatever. But instead, he hired kids from college who he was training on the job on this. You see what I'm saying? And so,
you know what a 50-year-old man would have said with experience?
Exactly.
No, we're not doing this.
Mm-hmm.
This is, we're not using a game. We're not using a game controller. We're going to use the right technology. You know what I mean?
I think a 50-year-old man would be all about doing it. But to your point, you're right. The 50-year-old man's not going to be like, okay, sure. let's do this as cheap as we can with Home Depot and Walmart. Logic.
They institute logic, and then logic costs money and time. Because if you tell your shareholders or whatever, your investors, hey, we'll have this done in 3 years. Well, to get it done in 3 years, you gotta go use John Deere parts. You know what I mean? Because camping light or this. To do it right costs time and money. Think about this. Think about the first people that are gonna take the first trip to Mars. How do you think that trip's gonna go?
On your own.
Well,
No, think about it. I mean, never been done before. It's lessons learned. So, who wants to be on the preview build? You know what I mean? Well,
if you want to talk about lessons learned, I mean, think about Apollo 11. I think when NASA figured out that it was a bad idea to seal people in from the outside, I'm sorry, not 11, Apollo 1, was that when whatever hatch got caught on fire and they died in there because they couldn't get them out in time because, there was no way of them getting out from the inside. And so you would think, guys, maybe, we should even if it's just to I don't know how I'd rather go. Right. If I have the option, freaking end this right now or just slowly die and freaking people, are people going to die in dignity, man? I don't know, man. You see what I'm saying? It's going to get ugly.
Crammed into a five. Smell really bad.
You see what I'm saying? I can't.
Any way you slice and dice it, it's a tragedy. It's never good, right? And hopefully, the odds of them surviving is probably 0.0001%. You know what I mean? So everybody needs to understand that, yes, these people are probably going to be dead when they find them, if they do. You're never going to get the full cause from any of this, right?
That's another thing. I don't know if there was any type of recording within or readings or anything like that could be preserved. Nobody knows.
I doubt it based on what they're saying with technology and everything. There's no black box.
Right. Well, if you want to think about that, even that with that Malaysian Airlines fight that disappeared 10 years ago,
even with the black box, right?
Yeah, they had the black box. They had radar information. They had all this stuff that they knew where the plane was going, what it was doing, and they still couldn't find it. This thing,
they found it. Nothing. They found it. They're just not telling you.
Nothing.
Right.
Okay. So what I hear is, Jeremy comes up with all kinds of shit that he's got a hobby together in the garage. So, my thought is, what's up next? We might as well hobby the shit out of something for a Titanic dive because Saul and Tim are all in. Let's do it.
Don't get me wrong. The first time I went, the first and only time I went up in Jeremy's plane, we're freaking flying this thing. And I'm like, that's how I felt. I'm like, this guy put together out of a freaking Cracker Jack box. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going to die.
Yeah, it wasn't even in his garage. It was in the front of his living room. So there you go. Family room area.
Dude,
so.
I mean, we were coming in. We were coming into Laughlin, landing like this. I was like, this is not supposed to happen. You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm seeing the runway and we're like this. I'm like, uh-oh.
He's imagining. I'm like,
we're going to die.
Let's be real. If that Jeremy was you drunk. If Jeremy's putting it together, we're not going to be crisscross applesauce squished into a little tiny ass space. And so,
that plane was crisscross applesauce.
He's not going to be able to make we have leg room and it's going to be comfortable. And
my ass hurt. That seat was not comfortable.
Because you had your ass puckered.
We can't help
the joystick. The joystick was nice though. The little
your stick was between his legs and he was feeling
it. And all of a sudden starts moving. He goes, "Hey."
He felt safe with the stick between his legs.
I did. I liked that. I was playing with my stick the whole time. He's like, "Don't touch it."
I touch it. You don't touch it.
Jesus.
No, but hey, man, A for effort. I applaud these guys for trying. That takes a hell of a lot of balls. I don't think I could go on a normal submarine. Like my old boss from U-Haul, he was a captain or whatever. He worked on the nuclear subs out in the east, out in the China Sea, South China Sea. And he would say, he was underground. He was underwater for 9 months at a time. And he's like, dude, we've had guys that crack, but he's like, when they crack, you literally have to beat the shit out of them to get them to calm down. And then when they wake up, they're pretty much stuck to their room at that point. you know, and they have their training, you know, and these guys are trained for like 6-7 months before they get thrown down there, man.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they have plenty of room to walk and everything, you know what I mean? And you could still get claustrophobic on a big ass floating freaking ship. Yeah. You know what I mean? Underwater, you know, yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, but you got room to walk. You can stand up. You go to the chow room. I can only imagine being stuck in a freaking MRI tube. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like I said in the beginning of the show, I don't know what happened a couple months ago when I went for my first MRI. They put me in that, dude, I was like, get me out. I couldn't even get my breathing down. No, I couldn't even breathe. I mean, the second time, you know, when I went, you know, to actually get the, to do the dye and everything in me. Yeah, no problem. I had no problems the second time because it's like my head, I was expecting it. When I went to go get this MRI, I didn't realize it was closed. Mm. Right. I don't mind doing the open MRI and you're stuck underneath. You still can't move, but like you can look to the right and left and see daylight.
Yeah.
You know, but the second time when I went in, it was no problem. Right. You know, but it was just, it was weird.
Yeah, I don't know, man. It's wild. I think another thing, like you know, that that another layer of the insult to all this thing is that, you know, some of the posts online, people were saying that they were celebrating that who cares, you know, like why are we paying attention? Billionaires, oh, who cares? It's like, wow. The crazy thing about it is this guy who's hiring the woke folks, those same woke people are the ones celebrating his death. And it's freaking sad.
Yeah, sad. It's distasteful, right? I mean, just really? Mm-hmm. It's just, yeah, whatever.
You know, there was a headline. Let me see if I can find it.
Yeah, before you go to that headline. It looks like they deleted their text. Occupy Democrats, one of the liberal organizations that tweets, they came out saying, trying to blame Elon Musk that his Starlink didn't work because apparently that's what the mothership was using to connect to the internet. And so they were blaming it on Elon Musk that the internet didn't work. And people were like racial to them on the comments and saying, you realize that that's not how you communicate with the submarine, right? That's only for the, and I guess they eventually deleted it because I was trying to go to the tweet people and it was stupid. Gone. So they deleted it.
Yeah.
Well, luckily there's a guy, who is it? Siraj something. He's got his own thing. Yeah, every time somebody posts something stupid, he always captures it and says, you know, gives him the list and creates a list of all the dumb tweets people put. It's hilarious. So the Associated, so there was two today. The Associated Press, this was their headline. The search for a submissible that disappeared while taking wealthy tourists to seek the wreck of the Titanic has transfixed parts of the world. That contrasts sharply with another recent tragedy in which the victims were migrants motivated by desperation. That was the Associated Press's headline, by the way.
So it
government
took the
tax money.
They're angry that it took the light away from the poor people to put it on the rich people.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Now, second thing. Second one from New Republic. OceanGate CEO missing in Titanic sub had history of donating to GOP candidates.
What is that?
This is the world we live in, guys.
Water.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, boy.
I mean, they deleted the tweets, but people put this shit out and then they delete it because they get ratioed because it's like, dude, what the fuck does any of this have to do with politics? And this is the sad state of affairs because I know we're trying to stay with, but even a tragedy like this, they turn it into a fucking political campaign and get away with it.
Yeah, that's what
it's disgusting.
Occupy Democrats. That's exactly what they did. They were like saying, you know, tweeted out that the thing that they deleted, and they were saying, "Well, by the way, donate to our cause, and here's a link."
Like, oh, wow. Here it is. Here it is.
Trying to collect money off of that.
No, so the guy got it. He got it. The list comes for all. Republican billionaire Elon Musk is thrown into another nightmare PR disaster as it revealed that the missing Titanic submersible company previously praised the satellite communication Starlink and said that it would be relying on the service to provide. Wow, this is a pretty long ass tweet. Jesus. And they deleted it. But yeah,
who was
that? Was a tweet. I mean, he caught it
from Occupy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like if you scroll down on the tweet, you'll see that they asked for donations on that same tweet, bro. It's freaking wild.
Yeah. Retweet if you demand investigation. Yeah. I mean, because the tweet's deleted. So when you click on the tweet, it actually disappears, but he took a screenshot of it. It's fucking insane, dude. Yeah. These people are crazy. You know what I don't think when I see a tragedy? Left wing bullshit or right wing bullshit. No, I don't think about that. No, it sucks.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's one of those stories. I think that, again, there's a lot of mystery and a lot of, you know, irony and all that. And I think that's why it draws people's attention, right? And obviously all the media is covering it because it's the Titanic, you know, another wreck at the same location, all that crazy stuff, right? So people eat it up. But at the same time, it's a human life, and, you know, some people are just ugly human beings and evil and say dumb shit. And I'm like, wow, it's crazy. Just wrong. And that's all I had for today, guys. I just wanted to talk about this for a little bit, keep it a little.
Yeah, no,
I thought it was great.
Yeah, the sea is dangerous. The oceans are dangerous. Don't jump into them willy-nilly. Don't pay $250,000 to get into a cigar tube and go see the Titanic, all right? It's not a good idea. And, you know, as far as the remote control, right, for the Game Boy controller or whatever it was like, I understand that the technology has come a long way, right? That game controller may have been perfectly adequate to control the submarine, right? All it is buttons that you're pushing, whether those buttons are on a remote control for a game console, or if they're mounted onto a panel on the side of the boat, they all do exactly the same thing. It's just a button that you push to make things happen. So I don't want to just, you know, poo-poo the whole idea that, yeah, he was buying lights from Camper World and he was buying, you know, game controllers from GameStop or whatever, right? I think it's important to realize that when it comes to dangerous things like flying or submerging or submarining, whatever they call it, it's very important to put your money into specific things, right? Safety definitely should be one of them, but, you know, sometimes you have to take a step back and look at it and go, is it acceptable that this thing runs off of a game controller? It's like, well, you know, what's it really doing? Is it really that much different than if they'd spent, you know, instead of spending $10 for this game controller, they spent $10,000 putting a panel inside of the submarine with basically the same exact buttons on it? It's like, well, you know, what's the deal there? And like I said, I've never seen these submarines before, or submersibles. I don't know how much they spent making them.
You know,
what kind of safety features they actually did have, but
you're right, Jeremy. I think, and that's, some people are going to pay, the brave people are going to pave the way to a lot of the stuff that, I'm trying to think of an analogy. So for example, the Oregon Trail, right? People who went from one side of the country to the other and their families died a lot. I mean, we played this game, and you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You had to survive.
Best game ever. Right?
You had Adam surviving, knowing the risks. And to your point, Jeremy, nature is brutal. Nature is gonna, ultimately it wins, right? At the end of the day, it always wins. but it's brutal, or it'll take you early. And so to me, but those are the people, right? The pioneers, the people who lead the way for when we get to the point where we're like, we enjoy it because all the mistakes, all the risks, other people took those risks and other people, and we learn from that. And I think even if this, you know, an upside to, or a positive thing that can come out of that is that hopefully we learn from this, and anybody who else wants to do that has a respect towards nature and how brutal it can be, and does create, to your point, the safety and the redundancy, and make sure that, hey, make sure we do this right. Yeah.
So I, and one of the things that kind of brought to mind, cause you'd mentioned Musk, when SpaceX first started, a lot of the people, I think even one of the astronauts that landed on the moon, may have been Armstrong, was one of Elon Musk's, you know, idols. Buzz, was it Buzz? Okay. So it was an idol. Buzz Aldrin was like one of his, you know, perfect people, you know, just he idolized him. And when Buzz did whatever review, I don't know exactly how in depth they went, but
maybe you're right. Maybe it might have been Neil. Sorry. I don't know.
Okay. Either one. Yep. One of them. But when they were, you know, some reporter was talking to him. He's like, yeah, I don't trust SpaceX. They're not doing it right. And blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, wow. And so when you think about it, right, if you looked at the Apollo landers, or, you know, the capsules and the landers, you know, it's a lot of buttons and switches and blah, blah, blah. You look at SpaceX, it's all iPads mounted to the dashboards, right? It's all, there's no button. Well, I shouldn't say no, there's very few buttons. It's all touchpads. You know, this is what we're doing. This is how we're doing it. And I mean, in theory, if you were really come from the moon landing technology and look at what SpaceX is doing, it looks like a video game.
Yeah.
Right. It looks like toys. Yeah. It looks like kids' toys.
And isn't that a big thing that a lot of like Amazon's trying to do now, where they're trying to use drones to deliver packages, right?
They've been doing that for like the last like 5 years, but the FAA won't let them.
Hold on. So my point is, Jesus, they're run, you know, that's all remote control being ran for that kind of stuff too. So like, what's the difference that this guy figured out how to get a remote control to manage a submarine with people on it? One of the passengers in this sub thing, submersible or whatever, apparently paid to go to space in one of the launches. Like he's a thrill.
Yeah.
A thrill seeker,
yeah.
One of these billionaires. And so he's already paid a shit ton of money to be like, oh, I'll be your guinea pig. I'll go do that and try that. And he was apparently one of them that was shot up into the stars.
But yeah.
So I don't know which one of the passengers. I just know that rumor had it was something I had heard. And of course, I know you don't know how much of it is true and isn't true. But one of these billionaires that's being buried in with the Titanic, basically, he paid to go to space too. So he was a daredevil anyways. Like he was always doing the guinea pig stuff. Oh, I'll try it. How much is it going to cost me?
Yeah. I mean, if you got fuck you money, why not? You know what I mean? Right. Shit.
Sure. Sure.
How many people have said, oh, if I had the money, I'll go to space. Fuck. If I had the money, I'd go to space.
Jeremy. Yes. Jeremy's got that on his list to go to space.
Well, you know what the big difference is like when you're flying a drone or whatever, the communication, even though it's a remote control, all that communication, it's using wireless. It's using a lot of different technology and it's expensive, right?
Sure.
You can't fly a DJI drone with a BS.
And I'm not saying that he didn't cut corners and do shit he shouldn't have done. My point, though, just being is like one of the comments was, well, I'm not going to get in there. He's doing it by a freaking game controller.
Right.
And I'm just supporting Jeremy and Jeremy's statement of, yeah, OK, that seems a little scary or whatever. But if he had the rest of the engineers that were educated and had been around the block, maybe the game controller would have been enough. If the rest,
I don't
of the
think that was the problem. I don't think the game controller was the problem. Yeah.
Right,
just throw that one out there.
No, right.
I think it was some of the other things that kind of went wrong.
It's the duct tape that he had wrapped around.
No. Yeah.
I think another aspect to this is, and to Jeremy's point and to you guys' point, which is, yeah, technology does evolve, right? I mean, think about at every turn, there's always the previous generation who says, well, no, hold on, we might not want to do that. That sounds too crazy. So I get the point. Now, another point is the role that government played, right? Because NASA, though, all those were, you know, government funded and all that shit, right? And the government takes a lot of, it's slow to get there, right? Whereas relative to how SpaceX is doing it, they're leaps and bounds as faster than how the government was. And so it has its ups and it has its positives and negatives, right? And I think it should be a combination of both. There should be somebody who's trying to hold the reins back and says, wait, hold on. We can't just go willy-nilly here. And then there's got to be the part that says, hey, sometimes we got to accept a certain amount of risk in order to be innovative, in order to be, you know, try something new. And so and the reason I'm saying this is because one of the guys who was asking for the help of the government, he was very angry in one of the reports. And he's like, yeah. And he seemed like he didn't want to say this, but eventually he's like, yeah, it took the government a long time some bureaucratic red tape to be able to send some help. And he says, whereas the private sector, we asked, made a call, and they said, we're on our way. And whereas the, you know, public sector or the governments, Canada specifically, he was talking about, was they're dragging their feet, because he was saying, I was getting no reply backs from their emails, or I'm out of office in emails. And he's like, we're talking about a rescue here. You know what I mean? Like, and so there's a lot of that, you know, slow to get there from the government.
What you're saying is government's not necessarily the most efficient way of getting things taken care of?
Exactly. What? Let me actually show you that video of this guy, because he actually got really upset. Again, he talks about the ineptitude of government. It's interesting, the point that he makes.
Mac, at night, ready to go, and we have a ship off Newfoundland that is ready to take them to the site. We need to move. We do not have minutes or hours. We need to move now. Wait,
but why are they sitting? Explain to us, why are they not flying immediately and getting there?
Paperwork.
Really?
Paperwork. Really? Really, that's why I came on your show. I rejected your interview request all day because I was working this problem. But then we got to the situation where we needed to move. So I'm talking to you tonight because we need to move. I don't want to see out of office replies on emails. I want decisions made. We have people whose lives are at stake. We have to move. We have assets that are ready to go, and they're sitting and waiting.
What's the paperwork, though? I mean, is it government paperwork or is it private paperwork? I mean, because you would think that if it's a paperwork issue, at the least you take the flight, you get them ready to go, right? And then you wait for the paperwork to be signed. But you're telling us they're not even flying yet.
It's government. It's government. Private sector moves very, very, very quickly. Public does not.
Wow.
And listen, I don't want
I like the reporter acting like he doesn't know.
The government officials that are helping because they're doing their jobs, but we need to do it quicker. The private sector is ready. They've been ready for hours. They said yes the minute we contacted them. And I have had about 90 minutes sleep in 2 days. Three in the morning, my time, on the phone. Yes. What do you need? Yes. We'll put everyone on it. Yes. They're on the tarmac. I sent you photos. They're ready to go. I don't need an office, an out-of-office reply from the U.S. Navy or someone else saying, sorry, I'll be back on the 23rd. That will be too late. We need this to go now.
Anyway, so I like how the reporter acts like he's like, oh, really? The government like that? He's like, I didn't know that. Like, have you ever been to the DMV, buddy? Jesus.
Oh, my God. You go to the fucking one that you go to the private one, and it's a hell of a lot faster, but more expensive.
Clearly, none of these billionaires gave money to the Clinton Foundation.
We'll call it the foundation, yes.
Yes, the foundation.
Oh, that's a good one.
The Clinton Foundation.
That's what the sponsor of the show should be tonight.
They'd be on there ASAP. It'd be the ASAP.
Yeah. No, but that's who the sponsor of the show tonight should be.
Yes.
The Clinton Foundation. You've been suicided.
All you have to do is slap a Ukrainian flag on the side of the submersible, and they'll be on like nothing.
Fucking A, dude.
Exactly. And they'll lose $6 billion while they're at it.
Done. What government paperwork? Nobody needs government paperwork. Here's some government money. Shh.
For the Ukraine. Okay.
They have their robotic seals kicking that thing up in the air to get them out. Like.
All right, let's leave it there. This is actually a pretty good one. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on another episode of The Salty Show. Find us on some of the social media platforms. Give us a like, a follow, and share some of the content. And we will catch you all next time. Bye.
Guten Tag.
See ya.
Peace out, bitches.
What?
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Salty Show.com.